And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning all over North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Brother, you were getting it over there a second ago. You just I was
in that music.
It's one of our better bumps.
Yes.
All right. Hey, listen, number one on the Triple Dipper today, fit to fight, talking about our U.S. military. Are they fit to fight? And I'm not talking just about, you know, their level of personal fitness. Of course, that matters. And that's, by the way, that's a whole story in and of itself, is the fact that the entire PT test, physical training test, has now morphed into something totally different than what it ever was before. And then it's morphed again, by the way, before they even got the new one implemented. But what I am talking about is what policies and cultural aspects are in effect right now that are impacting readiness with the U.S. military. Well, I do want to tell you, top of the hour, my friend Matt Clark with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty is going to call in. Matt has just filed a brief on behalf of Navy SEALs in their vaccine mandate lawsuit. So the Center for Law and Liberty, story here on 1819 News, Center for Law and Liberty has filed an amicus brief in defense of a group of Navy SEALs facing discipline or discharge over their religious objections to the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Okay, so in case you're not familiar, an amicus brief, basically it's called a friend of the court brief. All right, so you're not the actual plaintiff in the case, but you have a position or you have an interest, you have a stake in the outcome. And so it happens quite often, especially at the Supreme Court level. A brief gets filed by an outside party or third party or a group, and they try to make their positions known in the eyes of the court. All right, so that's been done now. In this particular case, this is the one where sailors are arguing they should be exempted from vaccine demands based on their Religious Freedom Restoration Act and the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment. They claim in their brief the vaccine was an affront to the Creator and due to the vaccine being developed with aborted fetal cells. Here's the thing that's interesting about Matt's brief. He didn't just file a legal brief. He filed on behalf of someone who's one of my personal heroes, retired 3-star General Jerry Boykin, who, by the way, I just confirmed will be on the show sometime soon. But retired 3-star General Jerry Boykin, if you're not familiar with him, he is one of the founders of Delta Force. He's a plank holder. He was one of the very first members the very first group. He was one of the very first members of Delta, a longtime Special Forces guy. Went on to have a stellar career. As a member of Delta, he took part in all of the, literally movies have been made about the missions he was involved in, literally. I mean, he was there for the invasion of Grenada, where he received a Purple Heart. He was there for the invasion of Panama. He was, he headed up the hunt for Pablo Escobar, the drug cartel leader in Colombia. He was the ground force commander for Delta in the Black Hawk Down mission in Somalia. It's on and on and on. I'll take it back. He was also, by the way, he was one of the members of the hostage rescue team for the Iran hostage rescue attempt when the Iranians were holding Americans. And so all this, anyway, Jerry Boykin, he went on to become a 3-star general. At one point, he commanded the Special Warfare Center where they train all the Green Berets. Well, this brief is now filed on behalf of him and his 36-year Army career as a special operations soldier, letting the world know that he is putting his name on the line to say, you're going to do this, you need to understand what you're doing to readiness and what you're doing is wrong. So Matt Clark is going to come on the show and talk about it at 3:00. I tell you what, I was going to go more into that article, but I think I'll hold it. Do know this, though, too. Attorney General Steve Marshall here in Alabama also filed a brief in support of the SEALs as well. That's just cool, and I appreciate it. But the Epoch Times has an article, at least if I can grab it off my stack here, that the issue of the vaccine mandates, all the legal challenges, are just getting started, they say. Storyline out August 28th, 3 days ago. Epoch Times, the Department of Defense's requirement that all members of the armed forces receive COVID-19 vaccinations, even if they've already had the virus and developed immunity, has had a severely disruptive effect within the military ranks, resulting in the denial of promotions and assignments to those who have refused the vaccine, and in thousands of service members having to leave the military, and thousands more on the chopping block, to be honest with you. So the vaccine order has given rise to a spate of lawsuits, it says. It's likely to spur more legal challenges. It's going to force out people who are moral, ethical service members right out of the military and leave a readiness gap, says one expert providing input to the article. They go on to talk about the fact that it's one guy, a guy named Rob Green, who's an active duty Navy commander at 05, currently serving with the Maritime Expeditionary Security Group 2, told them that opposition runs high among military personnel. He's on active duty, but he's still quoted. He says, "I don't want to speak for 2.1 million of my friends, but I'll say there are many who did not want to get vaccinated, and they're being told they have to." He says, "But common sense told these people that if a pandemic has a 99.99% survivability rate and you're in the healthiest age group in America, then you have to ask, why am I taking this vaccine?" Keep in mind, too, this whole section is not going to be about vaccines. I'm talking about the military in general. This is the leadoff. But I think I need to caveat and say, if you want to get the vaccine, that is your choice. I'm not going to tell you, you're an idiot for getting the vaccine. No, if you meet with your medical provider and you decide what's best for you is to get the shot, get the shot. The question becomes, can the government force you to take the shot if, in fact, you don't want to or believe that there are reasons why you should not? That's what it comes down to. I'm not anti-vax. I am anti-mandate. Well, you know, this article that I'm looking at from Epoch Times goes on to talk about the fact that there are other challenges that are being foisted out there right now, legal challenges that are being brought to bear. Like, for instance, the vaccine was given under emergency use authorization, and yet there's no statutory basis for denying any American the right to refuse an EUA drug. It takes on a whole new meaning when they're operating under EUAs. And then they also have the fact that, you know, military personnel are not lying dormant in the face of what they see as an illegal and selectively enforced mandate. Some people are being given their, you know, requests for non-vaccination. Others are being denied almost carte blanche, and no one can say why. And so the bottom line is, so far, 3,400 troops have been discharged from the military. That's the Epoch Times. So, all right, one more thing on that topic, and then I'll move on to something else in the mix. This is also the Epoch Times. When I was looking at that last article, I had to grab this one. COVID-19 vaccine policies impact the U.S. military readiness, says a Special Forces flight surgeon. All right, so a guy who's actually a Green Beret, who's now also a flight surgeon, has been working in Operation Lone Star in Texas with National Guardsmen. He told his superiors that 78% of the people that were testing positive for COVID-19 or showing symptoms were also fully vaccinated, and that COVID-19 prevention could be achieved through less intrusive measures. He told him, he said, he recommended ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and the other things that are taboo right now. Well, he got shut down. And so here he is, a Green Beret flight surgeon working with troops who was allowing the troops to basically, you know, give consent before they were vaccinated. He was discharged from the mission. He is no longer working on the mission. He says, subsequently, there was a fight. They tried to fire me. I had whistleblower protection, so they just took me off the border early. He said, I went from being a Special Forces Golden Child doctor to, we don't want you here anymore. Well, weren't toeing the line. Well, an article that I pulled off of Salon.com. Oh, Phil, you didn't? No, say you didn't go to Salon. I know. I might need to take a shower when this is over. But here I am, salon.com. Dateline, August 27th. When you look at what's happening with military recruiting, I would go ahead and just lay money that the lady named Andrea Mazzarino, who wrote this article for salon.com, has never served in the military. I'm just going to say. This was the wokest description of, surely these are the things that must be causing. It's like we're having gender inequities, and that's causing people not wanting to enlist. And we're having the wage gap in America is causing people to have, you know, social dysfunction, and that's why they're not enlisting. This is the stupidest article I think I've ever read. But she starts off, and I thought, let's see where this goes. The American military is now having trouble recruiting enough soldiers. According to the New York Times, its ranks are short thousands of entry-level troops. It's on track to face the worst recruitment crisis since the Vietnam War ended, not long after the draft was eliminated. That's about where we stopped agreeing. In a size 12 font, it's 4 pages of gobbledygook. Let me just go down. The Pentagon's bloated budget provides these ample bonuses, and they still can't get people in. So is your point the bonuses, or is your point the fact that they can't get people in? Let me read you this paragraph, which in my highlights, I'm showing it to the screen. In my highlights, I just wrote the big words, what? Exclamation point with a, you know. She says, as it happens, though, recruiters keep running into some common problems that either prevent young people from enlisting or even wanting to do so, including the poor physical or mental health of all too many of them, their mistrust of the government and its wars, and the recent pandemic. Father, first of all, if you're joining the military, not wanting to go to war, let me just give you some advice. Don't join the military. And the recent pandemic-related school closures that made it so much harder for recruiters to build relationships with high school kids. Many of these recruitment issues are also all-American ones, related to the deteriorating quality of life in this country. From a basic standard of living to shared values or even places we might spend much time together, we seem to have ever less connecting us to each other. In a nation where friendships across socioeconomic classes are vital to young people's access to new opportunities, this ought to trouble us. What in God's name is she talking about? I can go out on the street. I can go to a high school football game, and I can find community still there. I can go to a church on a Sunday morning. I can find community still there. What she's saying here is, y'all ain't woke enough, and if you get more woke, we can all identify more. Well, no, you are the wokes are the ones that don't need to be in the military because they don't have any desire to do the hard things. I probably just touched a nerve with somebody, Boomer. I'm waiting for the phones to ring. But this article goes on and on and on. Thanks in part to growing wealth inequalities in this country, what often seems to be a perpetual stalemate in Congress regarding social spending. The next generation of would-be fighters turn out to be in surprisingly rough shape. And then she goes on to decry the fact that the U.S. military seems to spend time recruiting kids from poor demographics. I got news, they recruit kids. If the rich kids don't want to join, I can't help that. If the poor kids do want to join, bring their scrappy selves on, man. We'll put them to work. But then it goes on to say, there's a frayed social... Anyway, I'm done with this article. I'm done with it. All right. I can't do it anymore. I'm done with that. The bottom line is this. We are facing an issue. We are facing an issue with military readiness. The vaccine mandates were the latest in an effort by the left, led by the Biden administration, to just literally crush the ability of the U.S. to have a strong and ready military. Now, do we have a great military? Yes, we do. And do we have, it's like my monologue earlier about the Customs and Border Patrol. The rank and file, the solid, the salt of the earth, who put on the green and go to work every single day, God love them. But the leadership, stop the freaking madness. We'll talk about it more in a minute. Fit to fight, that's where we are. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We will do that. We'll come right back. Have a short time together, and then at top of the hour, my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty will cap this off by talking with us about his brief he filed on behalf of General Jerry Boykin. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got a whole lot more. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Spanning all of North Alabama. Man, we are covering down on the issues. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, I am in number one of the Triple Dipper, Fit to Fight. Fit to Fight. Speaking of which, in terms of having a ready force, you got to have a force. And the first thing to note is it's not gotten better. The last time I reported on this, I think, was 3 or 4 weeks ago. The predictions are coming in roughly the same. Story off of NBC.com. The Army has so far recruited only about half the soldiers it hoped for fiscal 2022, the Army Secretary says. With about 7 weeks left in the fiscal year, the Army has recruited only about half the number of soldiers it set as its yearly goal. An exclusive interview, Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said the Army has recruited the Army has recruited about 52% of its goal for fiscal year 2020. It's likely to wind up short by as many as 15,000 recruits. That's a lot. They are not making mission, man. We are right now at about 52% of the mission we had set for ourselves, she said. So we got a ways to go. Obviously, we only got about a month or so until the fiscal year ends. I would say we're going to be about 12,000 to 15,000 recruits short. The goal was to have 60,000 active duty enlistments. That's just for the Army. The Army's authorized to have as many as 485,000 troops for this fiscal year, but it recently lowered that number to 476. What they did was they lowered the number because they knew they weren't going to make it. NBC News was the first to report in June that every branch of the U.S. military was struggling to meet its fiscal year 2022 recruiting goals. It goes on to say, too, that one of the issues they're facing is what they call a shrinking pool of available sources or available recruits. They say that only 23% of Americans ages 17 to 24 are qualified to serve without waivers. That's down from 29%. And so, but here's the thing. That's not – if you're down – from 29 to 23%, yes, that's significant. You just shrunk the pool in terms of who's available, in terms of being able to qualify without a waiver. Waiver for things like weight or inability to pass the PT test, physical training test, or inability to pass academic standards, or does not have a GED or a high school diploma. Some of these things, or drug use or a criminal record. All right, all those things can disqualify you from military service. And they say that used to be or recently, it says down from recent years. I don't know what recent years means. But what they're not addressing in here is the woke culture that is also driving people away. Well, then on top of that, they're having to lower the standards. And so when this happens, and civilian market sees it too. I mean, I saw most recently one of my friends who was working in the staffing of another business. He said, yeah, they called and told us they're waiving the drug testing requirements. They've never done that before. That happens. Well, in this particular story by ABC News, dated 2 days ago, Army program gives poor-performing recruits a second chance. So when you are when you're having to put people into a position of training up to the point that they can do the training, that's pretty big doings. In this case, and I'm not going to name his name. They named the name of this young recruit. I'm not going to do that. August 28th, but at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, a recruit with the last name of Andrews has wanted to join the Army since he was 19, but has failed the service academic test more than 10 times over the past decade. Wow. Okay, so this guy's 29 years old, and he's failed the academic test to enter the military. I guess that's the ASVAB. 10 times. Wow. Now at age 29, Andrews thinks he has a real shot to pass thanks to a new Army program that gives lower performing recruits 90 days of academic or fitness instruction. So they're having to take kids in and either give them 90 days of train up to go to basic or 90 days of academic train up to go to basic. They're basically getting them ready to get ready. That's amazing. Now, on the one hand, I'm glad because I want to see this kid Andrew succeed. I'm still a firm believer that while the military may have stuff in it that I don't like, it's still a great opportunity for a lot of people to do things with their life they never would have had a chance to do. And he apparently wants it badly. He's tried 10 times to get in. I mean, but then again, you have to look at it and go, 10 years. But now we're gonna spend money. You know, it's almost like you're having to go to, go to camp. Well, I didn't even get through all my stuff. Generational challenges, military readiness, Ukraine war is depleting our U.S. ammunition stockpiles. I question some of this stuff, man. Are we fit to fight? We can still fight. We need to be more fit, that's for sure. We need to stop depleting the ranks of our force with ridiculous policies. All right, coming up next, Matt Clark, Center for Law and Liberty, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.